All right. Good morning and welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. I want to thank Professor Bob Harvey, as always, for his compassionate conversation on history and the relevance of it to today. I want to welcome back Professor Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action. Hey, good morning to you, Dr. Craig. How you doing, my friend?
I'm good, Earl. I'm not too far off. I trained to be a professor. I just then chose to do another path.
Well, you know, let me ask you. You know, the election times are here. And you've been at this a long time, my friend. You really have. So there have been different times in our history where people said this is as critical a juncture. This is, if we don't get this right, there's going to be hell to pay. It almost appears, Professor, Dr. Craig, it almost appears that if we don't get this right, you've seen Republicans before, but I've never seen them this nasty. I've never seen them act in the manner. It's almost as if they don't win some of these elections, they're putting all of their eggs in this basket, and this is a point in time where they have to win this, or their very future in this country will be jeopardized. Now, you and I know, and others know, that they haven't won a popular vote in many years. So people know that, you know, that it's not like they have the majority of the American people who believe in what they're doing. So it appears to me that they're going all in, and they don't care. Burn all the bridges. But we have to win this one. Am I off base with that?
No, and not in terms of recent history. I mean, you could point to other eras of extremely nasty political movements in American history. Obviously, the slave power that tried to hold on to slavery was nasty and went to war rather than agree to the results of the 1860 election. The Southern, redeemers that installed Jim Crow and ended black civil rights after Reconstruction, that was nasty and murderous political movement. I think there's an incredible nastiness after World War II when, as far as the Red Scare and McCarthyism, and that came from this state. We also have a red tradition in this state, and it's not a glorious one, right? With the communist witch hunts, which actually went after a whole lot of innocent people who just had strongly progressive views and pro-worker views. This is a different level, different kind of threat, right? But this is a threat to democracy itself, because you rightly pointed out, Earl, this is a party that has lost the popular vote. I believe the number is 7 of the last 8 presidential elections, but it also believes it has a right to rule. And you just have to, and we've seen this well before Donald Trump. I mean, the idea that it's okay to guarantee a Republican majority in the legislature by the way you draw the maps, you've seen the analyses. A Democratic surge election where the Democrats win by a huge margin in Wisconsin, 4 or 5 points, which is a huge margin in this state, still produces a supermajority in the state assembly for Republicans. That's not democracy. They don't want democracy. Their talk show heroes like Tucker Carlson are attracted to Hungary and Viktor Orban. They praise the new prime minister of Italy, who's part of Mussolini's fascist party, right? And she's been praised on national TV, on primetime, on Fox News. So this is scary, but I think, Earl, I don't know, all the sensational television and streaming series is over the years, right?
Right.
It's almost like people just see it, don't take it as serious, see it all as an act or just more talk, when in fact it's sort of like a lot of the American people are asleep at what the risk really is and aren't thinking about what it would be like to live in an authoritarian country.
Well, I don't think they believe that can happen, Dr. Craig. I think they believe that this democracy that we have is always going to be here because it's America, and that can never change. But nothing could be farther from the truth, could it?
And you would think that the attempted insurrection in 2020, 2021 would be some proof of that, but now that has been written off. Most Republican voters, a vast majority of them, think that the election was unfair in 2020, which is just a lie. Tucker Carlson this week, most popular cable news show, okay, this is not some minor fringe figure, right, was making fun of the idea there was an insurrection at all this week. So this was in response to an MSNBC focus group with Trump voters asking them about the insurrection, like that was an illegitimate question. He was laughing on the air about it. So we're just going to pretend it didn't happen. So it all looks like just this other shocking streaming series I saw, Succession. I'm talking about from the point of view of the voter, or House of Cards, or one of those. It's just, or the Manchurian Candidate, the remake, whatever you want to say. It's just all smoke, and things will just go on as they are. But though at the same time, there isn't a whole lot of faith in democracy. I think our challenge, Earl, on the left, is not just to raise the alarm bells about democracy, but to make this a democracy worth saving. And it's true that it has not been producing nearly enough for average people. It's true that a lot of young voters, especially young voters of color who see very dim economic prospects for themselves and their families and their communities, that we haven't shown them that voting will impact their lives and that need that. And so I think there really is a challenge to make democracy worth saving in this country by actually doing things, not having gridlock on anything that helps average people, but then the fast track for anything that helps the billionaire class and our largest corporations.
Well, let's do this. Let's bring Tom from LA into the conversation. Good morning, Tom. How you doing? Thank you very much for the call. You say what?
Good morning, Earl. First off, we the people are ultimately the government, and we're going to have to prove that on voting day, because honestly, if we do not regain the House and the Senate, this is no longer our democracy. This is no longer we the people. I mean, right now it's hanging from a thread, of course, but we are not going to have even the vote. I mean, that's how serious this thing is. This is so serious that we will be full on. I mean, first off, what will happen is Joe Biden will be impeached. Or what will happen is the Republicans will shut down the government and force Joe Biden to make a deal on Social Security and Medicare because of the fact that he wants to get, you know, something done as a president. He'll say, I have to work with the other side, blah, blah, blah. And then all of a sudden we're even in worse shape, and they'll say it was done by a Democratic president. Same thing they did to Bill Clinton. Same thing they've done
Obama.
Even with Barack Obama, with the whole thing with we're going to make this big deal with you. Luckily, that fell through. But, you know, that's what they're going after, people. And I just say to every person out there, every voter out there, please get out and vote. You just had Professor Harvey on. You know what? Every person that's black, get out and vote. You have so much power. You have no idea how much power you have. We all have got to vote. It's up to all of us. This is where it is about we the people. And we have got to get out and vote like we never have before. Souls to the polls, Wisconsin.com, souls to the poll, WI.org. Get out, get people to vote. And if there's something that motivates you to vote, use that motivation to actually make things happen. So as an example for me, one of the reasons why I'm pushing for the vote is honestly I'd like to laugh at CJ and some of those others the day after the election and be pretty happy that it was a blue wave. It wasn't a red wave. It was a blue wave. Don't listen to the pollsters. Don't listen to the media at all. They want a horse race. Just get out and vote. That's all you got to do is vote, vote, vote.
Hey,
thank
Tom,
you.
Thank you very much for the call. Dr. Craig?
Tom, sentiments that people need to get out and vote, and they need to also talk to other voters if they're going to vote anyway. And so we're doing a deep canvass at the doors and on the phone all over the state, have been doing it at CIS National Wisconsin. And it's something we need folks to volunteer for even more because we're getting a 17% move rate. That is, people who were undecided are moving towards Mandela Barnes and away from Ron Johnson if we have deeper conversations with them.
Really? Really?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was talking. Yep. I was at a rally on yesterday. Did a live remote from SEIU, Professor Harvey, and it appears for all the world that you know people aren't taking this and organizations aren't taking this lightly. They're motivated and they are out and they know what time this is and these races are closer than Republicans want to lead anybody to believe. If you listen to conservative talk, it's already done. Ron Johnson and Tim Michaels are going to win those seats. But the truth of the matter is, that's not the case.
They understand self-fulfilling prophecy. They try to say something is the case, hoping to make it the case, right? And to demoralize our side. I saw Sean Hannity last week had two prominent Republican pollsters on. They were both predicting the Republicans would win every contested Senate race and gain four seats in the U.S. Senate. I don't think anyone serious believes that they're going to win every single one, but that is what they were laying out. And I think the mainstream media and the pollsters are actually influencing the election by publishing these polls.
So Dr. Craig, hold on. We've got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. We'll be right back. Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at the same number. On the line, Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action. As the young lady is singing on the song, she's not afraid of lions and tigers and bears. But what about Republicans? No, Dr. Craig. These people, Dr. Craig, the National Party has spent $1.6 billion. The amount of money that they are just pouring into five states in the senatorial races, Dr. Craig, it's unprecedented. So, I mean, they've got an endless amount of money to spend to make sure that their donors who have benefited from Republicans being in control when they are in control know what the outcome will be if they're not in control and all the money that they make off Republican rule. And so the party just seems to have an endless sum of money that they are investing in these campaigns.
Well, they deliberately, this is a long-term strategy by the billionaires, by big corporations to take over this country and to limit the influence of the people, of democracy. They packed the U.S. Supreme Court. It deregulated elections so unlimited money could be spent under the banner of free speech. And it didn't even have to be reported. And now it's gotten worse every election cycle, but now you're seeing it metastasize, where they have set the agenda in Wisconsin because you can't escape the dark dog whistle racist crime ads, right? You can't escape them, and that's influenced the election, and that removes, once you have in Wisconsin a couple billionaires funding a good deal of this, they have a lot more voice than every individual. You don't have one person, one vote. And so this has all been a conscious conspiracy. And in the Citizens United, infamous U.S. Supreme Court case, they made a declarative judgment without fact-finding that if the money is spent independently, in other words, not through the campaign, that there is no corruption involved. There's no corruptive impact. I'm sorry, when you know someone gave you $3 million or $10 million or $20 million in campaign ads to get you elected, that they don't have any more influence with you? It's absurd. And we know in Ron Johnson's case, he actually went and got a special tax break in the Trump tax cut, held the whole thing up to get it just for his two billionaire donors, Richard Eline and Diane Hendricks. So it is absolutely scandalous what they're doing. And then your caller, Tom, pointed out they're going to hold the national debt and the world economy hostage if they win control of the House by not increasing the debt limit in order to get their way and get massive cuts in social spending and Social Security and Medicare, most likely.
You know, Dr. Craig, do you think that the average Republican voter, you know, Joe Q Public, do you think they understand or can see or envision that you stated that the billionaires organized across this nation have set a plan in motion clearly to reap the benefits of this nation, to basically take those resources out of the hands and pockets of the average American person? You know, years back they talked about redistribution of wealth, and they were talking about the wealthy were saying, well, they're trying to take the money away from the wealthy and give to the poor. The truth of the matter is the redistribution of wealth happened long ago when the billionaires took the money from the middle class, and yet we can't get that middle class person on the right, Dr. Craig, to even understand that.
Yeah, and I could cite the numbers, not that numbers always win you elections, but the proportion of wealth that the top 0.1% of the country, the ultra-wealthy, have versus the bottom 50%, it's dramatically shifted over the last 40 years. And this came in when we started getting this kind of right-wing courts and right-wing control, right? And the whole Milton Friedman, Ronald Reagan revolution, et cetera. And it's getting worse and worse because you're creating dynastic wealth. They're well beyond making sure that their children and grandchildren are set for life. They have enough money that they're eight generations set. I mean, that's a new nobility, right?
Right.
It really is. And not folks who've done anything. Chris Hayes, the MSNBC host, has a great line. He says, "This is a party of the sons of people who built things, of millionaires, right? In other words, they didn't even do it.
Right.
And we see that with Ron Johnson, too, marrying in to the manufacturing firm he tries to pretend he founded and that he built up in Northeast Wisconsin. But no, those voters do not, because that's part of the conspiracy. It is a magic act, but a very effective one. They have more money than God to figure out how to manipulate people. And what they found is negative partisanship, which is a fancy political science word for making people hate the other side, is so powerful when you get the hatred ramped up enough that you don't see anything else other than red. It's like a bull seeing a red cape. And so you talk to some of these folks, as I canvass in our program at Citizen Action of Wisconsin, and they're like, I would never vote for Mandela Cruz on Barnes. He's letting all the criminals loose. Goodbye. You know, that, and it's just like they're not even open to a conversation.
Right.
They've just decided because they've been they've been pricked, right, and revved up to a frenzy. It's like someone in a social circle goes and tells someone that someone said something awful about you.
So Dr.
Right?
Craig, hold the thought. We got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. My guest is Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action. You know, so Dr. Craig, your canvassing operation is in full motion. I have to tell you, and I said this to somebody else the other day, just watching what is taking place in our city right now, the city of Milwaukee, and all of the tentacles and all of the movements and mechanisms that are taking place in the city, it reminds me of a little bit of 2012 when I saw this real investment in the city of Milwaukee and the importance of getting out to vote in Black Milwaukee, and just how afraid the Republicans are of that, because if we get a great turnout in Black Milwaukee, we can push Governor Evers and Mandela Barnes, and they can win these elections. The other side knows that. And so it's the work that needs to be done to make those who live in the city of Milwaukee know just how important and crucial their vote is.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more, Earl. This is such a closely balanced state that in 2016, when Hillary Clinton lost narrowly to Donald Trump in Wisconsin, she lost the entire margin of her loss was the reduction in the vote of young African-Americans in Wisconsin, so a subset of the African-American vote. And they just felt demoralized and like their lives and life prospects hadn't changed in 8 years. So that is absolutely critical vote. And it's less about persuading people as to who they're going to vote for than persuading folks
to get out
that they have a stake in democracy and that voting will impact their lives. And I hope that electing, I think it will be the 13th African-American U.S. senator in all American history, which is a shocking number if you think about it, a shockingly low number, would also be motivating, because Mandela Barnes is a child of the north side of Milwaukee, the African-American community. He is of and from that community, and it's been so underrepresented over the decades. It would be just wonderful to have one of its young people to be a U.S. senator.
Well, and the other part of it, Dr. Craig, is his youth. You know, for young people to see a young face, a young man, who can certainly be there throughout their lifetimes. It's hard to unseat a sitting senator, U.S. senator, and yet we're on the precipice of doing that with Ron Johnson. And they know it on the other side of this, and that's why the work that you and others in Citizen Action and others are doing petrifies the right, because they know, you know, exactly what we're talking about right now. And that's why their process is do everything you can to prevent these people from voting.
Prevent them from voting, and also demoralize them and make them think their vote doesn't matter.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
But also create as many hurdles as possible so that someone is working two jobs to get by, often gig jobs, right? Has to figure out how they're going to get to a polling place and have the right identification and all of that. Just the photo ID conspiracy is bad enough, but they've added more to it. I mean, they got rid of drop boxes, even though they're more secure, just because of the real reason is because it makes it easier for people to vote. The fake trumped up thing is that there's some security problem with them. There is not. It's more secure than mail, actually. But with photo ID, there is no identity impersonation voter fraud. It doesn't exist largely. I mean, if there's any, it's like it's small handfuls nationally. And it was put in under the guise of this was going on, this is to protect voter integrity. That was never what it's about. And they never had to prove that there was a problem there, which is tells you what right-wing judges will do. They'll let a lie stand in as a legal rationale. I mean, if there's a justification for voting restrictions that's in order to make sure that the election has integrity, then ought to be about to prove with actual proof that there was a threat based on this, and it isn't just an extra hurdle you're adding. Of course they don't. They just say that that's the motivation, and therefore it's okay because they are ratifying what conservatives are going to do. They're not real judges.
You know, Dr. Craig, all of this really is nonsensical. We already know that if and when Republicans lose, they're going to again say, we don't trust it. The system is rigged. We don't trust it. There were people who cheated over and over. It doesn't matter what the truth is, right? It's not going to matter.
We know that. Ron Johnson hired the same law firm that ran the fake electors scam for Donald Trump. The one that Ron Johnson then participated in by trying to deliver two slates of fake electors, Wisconsin's and Pennsylvania's, to Vice President Pence, who refused them and then did his constitutional duty. The same law firm that managed that is being paid by the Johnson campaign. So you know darn well if he loses, they're going to claim fraud and they're going to make a big mess. And so the election won't end on Election Day because a lot of angry people from the right are going to believe this and come out and scream and yell and threaten people. And let's face it, they're angry and they're armed.
You will see, Dr. Craig, and that's it. You just encapsulated why this is so, to me, even undercovered, that these people continue to make vile threats. And it's not, again, hidden. They are outwardly saying, well, there's going to be violence. Even elected officials on a national scale. Well, there are people who just aren't going to be satisfied. Well, what the hell is that? Who gives a rip that you aren't satisfied? What makes you somebody special and somebody different, Dr. Craig, than many other Americans who have to accept the outcomes? Why should we capitulate to people because they feel like something happened to them? When do we start?
When they're white.
When do we start doing that, people, Dr. Craig? And when does that ever end?
And the people who propagate it are the ones who then say, oh, this is where people are. Oh, a lot of people have concerns about the 2020 election, its integrity. Yeah, because you lied about it, right?
Yes.
It's sort of like saying that, a lot of white folks after the Civil War had concerns about black equality, and therefore they were angry and violent, and then we had to appease them. Not say that's not right or reasonable, and we're going to guarantee the Constitution for every American citizen. Took another 100 years to do it, which is still an absolute black mark on our national history, and it's not done yet.
You know,
because you can tell by the airwaves what they're saying on the
Dr.
ad.
Craig, I'm tired of people saying to me that I have to understand those people. Why should we have to understand those people, right? They're the ones that are wrong. And what did the other side do? Nothing.
It's very simple. We need to restore the principle that your rights extend to the point at which they infringe upon other people's rights. And they do not have the right to impinge on other people to be equal citizens and participate without fear in our elections. And you get a lot of stuff where the anger, they don't make a violent threat necessarily, but you can see what the anger is, and it's dangerous, right? I wrote an editorial that's a lead editorial at the front of every Indian Times magazine, a national progressive magazine. It just went online this week on criminal justice reform. And I'm already getting emails, MAGA hate emails, right, that are, that, you know, are acting like I'm scum for writing this, right? So when you see your fellow citizens that way, even if you disagree with them, then how do we live together in a democracy? How do we respect the outcome of elections?
All right, so no need to, not meaning to interrupt the conversation, but they're about to announce the ruling for Wisconsin v. Daryl Brooks in about 3 minutes, and so we're going to go to that.
Yeah. So, Dr. Craig, we're going to have to leave it there, mm-hmm. And we're going to go to live coverage of the outcome. Thank mm-hmm. you very much, as always, Dr. Craig. We'll be in touch again.
Thank you.
You want to go mm-hmm. to a break right now, Connor, as the decision in Daryl Brooks's trial is going to be forthcoming in the next few minutes. You want to go to the break now?
Yep.
Okay, we'll go to a break when we come back. Mm-hmm. Live coverage of the outcome of the Daryl Brooks trial will be the next.
Actually, I think they're about to announce it right now.
All right. Okay.
Yeah, so here we'll just stay. Yeah, they just they've been waiting for it for a minute, so it just happened to cut. Let's see.
Again, live coverage of the decision in the Daryl Brooks case is forthcoming.
The record in State versus Brooks appearances are as they were before. I would make just one note that Mr. Brooks is now present in a suit. And I will also advise that at 9:43 a.m. this morning, I was advised that the jury had reached verdicts in this matter. And without anything further, I'll have the jury brought out.
Your Honor, I don't consent to being called that name. I would like to address subject matter jurisdiction for the record as yet to be proven.
Your objections are noted and will not be addressing subject matter jurisdiction. Please bring the jury out.
Would it be proven for the record, Your Honor?
Just a reminder to everyone that I do expect everyone in the courtroom to demonstrate appropriate decorum and courtesy as the verdicts are read and refrain from audible responses. Any disruptions may result in removal from the courtroom.
Your Honor, is that a tacit agreement not to address subject matter jurisdiction for the record?
Jury's coming in. All rise, please.
I respectfully object to that ruling, Your Honor, and request the legal reconsideration of your ruling for the record.
Your requests are noted, sir. We will not be addressing that further.
For the record, may I respectfully reject that ruling and take exception to that ruling, Your Honor? Is that a tacit agreement and a judicial determination that you don't have to answer that question as a public servant, Your Honor? Record, may I request the legal or factual basis for your ruling, Your Honor?
It might have been a false alarm.
For the record, may I respectfully request a written judicial finding of fact and conclusion of law on this issue, Your Honor?
All your requests are noted for the record. They all are denied, sir. All rise. Jury is coming in.
For the record, may I respectfully move for an interlocutory declaratory appeal on this matter, Your Honor?
Denied.
For the record, may I move to stay these proceedings until this instant matter is adjudicated by a court of competent jurisdiction?
Denied.
Based on what law or fact, Your Honor? Is that a tacit agreement that you don't have to answer that question? For the record, Your Honor, as a public servant? You got don't have to address admiralty law or common law if this court is operating under admiralty law.
We'll not be addressing any of those issues. Thank you, everyone. Please be seated. Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, have you picked one among you to be the fourth person?
Yeah.
All right, and I see it's your number 11. Have you reached verdicts on all 76 counts?
Yes.
All right, would you please hand all of the forms to the bailiff?
Seeing is that we've reached a verdict, is it necessary that I have these shock devices on my ankles?
Those of you who are tuned in and wondering what you are listening to, the jury is preparing to render the decision on Mr. Brooks on whether or not, you know, he's guilty of the crimes that were committed at the Christmas parade last year here in Waukesha. The judge has called them in, and they have reached their decision, and you're in the process of waiting to hear what the outcome of that is going to be. We're carrying it live here at WAUK here in Waukesha, and it's certainly something that people have been waiting for a long time. Justice. I don't personally think that.
I have confirmed that there are 76 signed verdicts and 76 unsigned verdicts. Which would be what I would expect. All right, I will read each one into the record. We, the jury, find the defendant, Daryl E. Brooks, guilty of first-degree intentional homicide as charged in count one of the information. Dated this 26th day of October 2022, signed by the foreperson, juror number 11. If you find the defendant guilty of first-degree intentional homicide, answer the following question, yes or no. Did the defendant commit first-degree intentional homicide while using a dangerous weapon? Answer, yes. We, the jury, find the defendant, Daryl E. Brooks, guilty of first-degree intentional homicide as charged in count two of the information. Did the defendant commit first-degree intentional homicide while using a dangerous weapon? Answer, yes.
Burn in hell, you piece of shit.
Hey, you are to be removed right now. You will not do that.
Please
close. We, the jury, find the defendant, Daryl E. Brooks, guilty of first-degree intentional homicide as charged in count three of the information. And I should state as to count two, it was signed and dated by the foreperson, same as to count three. Did the defendant commit first-degree intentional homicide while using a dangerous weapon? Answer, yes. We, the jury, find the defendant, Daryl E. Brooks, guilty of first-degree intentional homicide as charged in count four of the information. Dated this 26th day of October 2022, signed by the foreperson. Did the defendant commit first-degree intentional homicide while using a dangerous weapon? Answer, yes. We, the jury, find the defendant, Daryl E. Brooks, guilty of first-degree intentional homicide as charged in count five of the information dated today's date and signed by the foreperson. Did the defendant commit first-degree intentional homicide while using a dangerous weapon? Answer, yes. We, the jury, find the defendant, Daryl E. Brooks, guilty of first-degree intentional homicide as charged in count six of the information dated today's date, signed by the foreperson. Did the defendant commit first-degree intentional homicide while using a dangerous weapon? Answer, yes. We, the jury, find the defendant, Daryl E. Brooks, guilty of first-degree recklessly endangering safety as charged in count seven of the information dated today's date and signed by the foreperson. Did the defendant commit first-degree recklessly endangering safety while using a dangerous weapon? Answer, yes. We, the jury, find the defendant, Daryl E. Brooks, guilty of first-degree recklessly endangering safety as charged in count eight of the information. Dated today's date and signed by the foreperson. Did the defendant commit first-degree recklessly endangering safety while using a dangerous weapon? Answer, yes. We, the jury, find the defendant, Daryl E. Brooks, guilty of first-degree recklessly endangering safety as charged in count nine of the information. Dated today's date, signed by the foreperson. Did the defendant commit first-degree recklessly endangering safety while using a dangerous weapon? Answer, yes.
Okay.
We, the jury, find the defendant, Daryl E. Brooks, guilty of first-degree recklessly endangering safety as charged in count 10 of the information. Dated today's date and signed by the foreperson. Did the defendant commit first-degree recklessly endangering safety while using a dangerous weapon? Answer, yes.
No, all right, okay.
We, the jury, find the defendant, Daryl E. Brooks, guilty of first-degree recklessly endangering safety as charged in count 11 of the information. Dated today's date, signed by the foreperson. Did the defendant commit first-degree recklessly endangering safety while using a dangerous weapon? Yes. We, the jury, find the defendant, Daryl E. Brooks, guilty of first-degree recklessly endangering safety as charged in count 12 of the information. Dated today's date, signed by the foreperson. did the defendant commit first-degree recklessly endangering safety while using a dangerous weapon? Answer, yes. We, the jury, find the defendant, Daryl E. Brooks, guilty of first-degree recklessly endangering safety as charged in count 13 of the information, dated today's date, signed by the foreperson. Did the defendant commit first-degree recklessly endangering safety while using a dangerous weapon? Answer, yes. We, the jury, find the defendant, Daryl E. Brooks, guilty of first-degree recklessly endangering safety as charged in count 14 of the information, dated today's date, signed by the foreperson. Did the defendant commit first-degree recklessly endangering safety while using a dangerous weapon? Answer, yes.
All right. Thank you, everybody who made the show go. Thank you, Connor. Thank you, Professor Harvey. Thank you, Dr. Craig. I've got to go. I'll be back on tomorrow. You've been tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. Thank you, Connor. See you later.
Defendant commit first-degree recklessly endangering safety.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. My guest is Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action. You know, Dr. Craig, let's talk about a young man who got involved in Citizen Action, who, you know, just wandered in and did not know what he wanted to do or where he was headed, but thought that he could, that it was valuable enough of a organization that he could make a difference in the lives of others as well as his own. And so he came into Citizen Action, as you spoke about before, and bright-eyed. And now, I don't know how many years later, not many, is sitting on at the precipice of becoming one of the most powerful men on earth. So for young people, Dr. Craig, who may be listening, who wonder if it's important to get involved and engaged in Citizen Action and other organizations like it, Mandela Barnes and what he is doing is a harbinger of what can happen, right?
Absolutely, and I actually think there are some people who have recently gotten either involved in Citizen Action of Wisconsin or started working for us who can do similar great things in the future. I actually remember, I'm pretty sure I know the year it was 2011, because I know when we had a job open. Let me tell you something about Mandela. Maybe I've told you this before. He actually applied for an organizing job with us and didn't get it. And, you know, if you run something, if you're an employer of any kind, when if you're decent about it, you call people and tell them, especially if they're really good candidates, that they didn't get the job they'd applied for, right?
Right.
And this was the best call of that type I've ever had. I remember I was on a Badger bus, you know, trying to not burn extra fossil fuels, and I talked to him, and I was apologizing. He told me not to apologize at all, that we were going to be partners and good friends, and that this wasn't changing anything. And that's the kind of person Mandela is. Mandela's been very focused. He understood there were other high quality candidates, and that it wasn't an offense if he didn't get the job. He was a finalist. He did very well in the process. And can you imagine a lot of other politicians we know in life having that kind of perspective as a young man? I mean, so he was in his 20s, right? And he still had that perspective that he was playing the long game. and that getting this, he was not going to let getting or not getting this job affect his trajectory or what he was going to do or who he was going to be allied with. And so he became a member. He became a board member of our organization. And of course, now he is on the precipice of being elected to the U.S. Senate. And this is a big deal. I mean, we can, one way to view this, Earl, is to be really nervous. We're a month out. My goodness, Ron Johnson could win. This is horrible. Be demoralized. The other way, the glass half full would be, we're on the precipice of electing a young African-American man to the U.S. Senate for the state of Wisconsin, and one that will make a big difference, not just for Wisconsin, but the whole country. And in fact, could make the difference in the balance of power, doing a lot of great things that we're close to able to do. If we can just add a couple senators and hold the House, which is possible, but it's hard. So that's why I again say it's on us to volunteer, to do everything we can to persuade and to get out the vote, because this is probably going to be a razor-thin election one way or the other.
You know, Dr. Craig, the reason that I even brought it up was other young people who are listening to us, that it may not be that they'll wind up running for United States Senate. The odds are against that. But what he learned along the way in being engaged with Citizen Action, and it's what I think is invaluable that you can take with you throughout the rest of your life. Let's talk a little bit about that. I don't know. Did I lose you, Dr. Craig?
Sorry.
No, that's okay.
Sometimes I confuse myself by muting myself.
That's okay. But let's for others who are listening who might want to be a part of this, let's talk about why.
I just think that we've kind of lost sight over the decades on what the fundamental democracy are. Of course, people should vote, and it's a shame that a lot of people don't vote, though it's also on us and on the system that they're not inspired. They don't see a difference in our elections. A lot of folks think that it won't change their lives, and they unfortunately have not been wrong in the last couple of decades. But really, if you want to talk about improving our communities, life prospects for ourselves, our families, our descendants, everything we care about, all the issues we care about in our society. The only way to do it is organize people. People are weak individually. So this idea, oh, I'm going to call my congressman, that's a nice idea. That's good that someone does that, but that's not power, right? Power is actually working with other like-minded people and figuring out what to do and then doing it together. And organized people are still the only thing that can check organized money. And we have such income inequality now, we have massive organized money to take on. I'll tell you, we're having a rally Saturday about We Energy and their giant rate increases and their foot dragging on the climate disaster, genocide, the risk of climate, but also the discriminatory rates they charge low-income African Americans and Latinos, where the energy burden is entirely unaffordable for them because they have the least energy-efficient houses and have the lowest incomes. And We Energy has a lot of power. They're dug in. They've managed to hijack energy policy in the state for their profit and benefit against the public interest. But what can we do other than people organizing, getting together and taking them on, exposing them, and then changing our politics? Because the one thing that could regulate them and make them operate in the public interest or go to a public utility is our government. If we can get representatives that will represent the people rather than Wall Street backed corporate interests like We Energy.
So, Dr. Craig, before we leave, what's the number that someone can call if they want to find out how they can also become a part of Citizen Action?
Our general line is 414-476-4501, and you'd be referred to someone. Our website's easier, but if you leave a message there, I won't guarantee that we don't pay operators to pick up, but we check all messages. But then our website, citizenactionwi.org, you can get everyone's contact information, including mine, and see everything we're up to.
Hey, Dr. Craig, as always, thank you, my friend. Somebody
Thank you, Earl.
We'll keep on doing
what you do.
See you next Wednesday. All right. Thank you, everybody who made the show go. I will be back on tomorrow.